the changing climate of the world. You are free to disagree with anything I say. It's okay, because I could be wrong. And if I'm wrong, I want to be corrected. I don't want to perpetuate something that's wrong. So you can challenge anything I have to say. As Europe developed, it became more secular. As development came in Europe, it became more secular. And it was thought that any country that developed would become more secular. It was thought that they went hand in hand. Development and secularization increased together. And you know what's happening in the world? Just the opposite. Just the opposite is happening. It's quite a surprise. We're finding that development is bringing about a resurgence in worldwide faith. There's a growing hunger for God in the world. Now, we don't see it in the U.S., because we have a growing secularization here. We know that. Hopefully you realize that. But you get outside of the U.S. and you find out there's a growing hunger for God. When countries were colonized, the colonizers came in and had an influence in overriding the indigenous cultures. So the colonizers influenced them. They were called the colonial masters. What's happening now is globalization is overriding indigenous cultures. So colonization is pretty much done around the world, but there's a globalization process which is mostly driven by U.S. culture, which is influencing countries around the world. And so you go to places and you'll find American movies and American songs and American style of dress is kind of transplanting indigenous cultures. Of the world's four largest religions, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism, they're all on the increase. The world is not becoming more secular. It's becoming more religious. And what's happening is the primary growth is in the two global faiths of Christianity and Islam. Christianity and Islam are growing faster than any other faith on the earth. It's estimated that right now, about 20% of the world economy is globalized. You could think of a local economy, little guys doing business here with people, and it's just all local. But a globalized thing is when I go buy this iPhone, very little of it's made in the United States. It's a global product. When they market, it's globally. It's estimated right now 20% of the world economy is globalized. Globalization is on the beginning stages right now. It's estimated that in 30 years, 80% of the world economy will be globalized. If this is true, the hunger for God will only increase. We're not heading toward a greater secularization of the world. We're heading even faster into a greater God hunger for the world. So around the world, what's happening is religion and development are growing simultaneously. Democracy, free markets, and technology are not destroying religion, but combining to drive people towards religion. And the type of Christianity that's growing most around the world is Pentecostalism. And a large variety of that is the health and wealth gospel. If you've been to Africa, turn on the TV and just listen to the preachers and see what they have to say. I have an entire message on that I'd love to give sometime, but I'm not doing that now. But it's Pentecostalism that's growing. And the type of Islam that's growing around the world most is fundamentalism. So this growth is fueled in both the poor and uneducated, as well as the urban and the educated. The spiritual hunger that's going around the world isn't just reaching the poor, it's reaching the high-tech guy in some apartment in Taiwan. When we list the 10 largest churches in the world, 5 of them are in South Korea. As maybe you know, the center of Christianity is shifting away from the United States. We won't go into that. So what factors are fueling the export of American Christianity around the world? One, it's missionaries. 1/4 of the world's missionaries come from the United States. That's about 115,000 missionaries from the United States. South Korea is the second largest exporter of missionaries. They have 15,000. We have 115,000. Number two has 15,000. The United States is the elephant in the room when it comes to influencing the globe for spiritual matters. The second thing influencing this spiritual climate or Christianity around the world is Christian media. There's two primary broadcasting systems that have global reach. It's CBN, and their most famous guy is Pat Robertson, if you don't know who he is. And then there's Trinity Broadcast Network, and their most famous person used to be Tammy and Jimmy Baker, and they have their stars. Most of the programming on these two stations cater to the health and wealth gospel. What's being spread around the world by our global Christian media is the health and wealth gospel. So the developing world has two powerful forces from the West influencing it. And one of them is multinationals. Business influences culture. Business influences culture. And then missionaries influence the culture. So America is contributing twice to this global revival of religion. First, we're the largest exporter of religion through our missionaries. And second, we're the largest exporter of capitalism. And capitalism is in turn driving people towards religion. As capitalism comes in, it tends to overwrite their own culture. They're hungering for some transcendent values, and they become more spiritually hungry. So it appears that losing their own culture is driving people to look for transcendent values around the world. So as people are in some small country, how do they learn about the U.S.? Primary reason is movies. Movies. Do you realize, this is hard to believe, the film industry is America's second largest export business. I can't hardly believe that. Raw violence, explicit sexuality is shocking to most of the world. And that's what they see of America. So they feel like they know you before you get there. I've seen your movies. The second thing that's influencing the world is our business. The rest of the world is imitating American business. We have a certain view of time that's slowly seeping out, overriding some other cultures. America has a certain cult of the young and beautiful. Most traditional cultures value the aged and the wise. I think it's just interesting that CNN's interested in what Lady Gaga has to say about something. I mean, what does she know about anything? But that's the way our culture is. And then the internet equips the young to challenge the wisdom of their elders. And what we find is those who have been westernized often find themselves in places of leadership in the developing world. The more westernization influence you have, the higher level of leadership. Interestingly, the United States is a country of contradictions. We're the country of the Puritans and the pornographers. An example of these contradictions is Silicon Valley in California. It's a hotbed for high-tech companies. It's also the home to 50 of the top porn businesses in the world. There's 20,000 porn stars living in this valley. It's also the home to several mega churches. So here you have this valley, and it's known for three things: high tech, pornography, and religion. Now mix that together and see if you can understand it. I don't get it myself, but that's the way it is. There's a little chart on your handout. It's a little box chart. The U.S. is the greatest exporter of secular values via the U.S. government. Well, there's USAID, and we'll give aid to you, but you've got to adopt this view. I was in Kenya talking with our people who are in charge of the stimulating microenterprise there. He's working with AIDS. Mike Matunga. And he's getting some money from USAID, and what they said is, we'll give you money to fight AIDS, but you can't call people prostitutes. They're professional sex workers. And you can't say that homosexuality is wrong. Here's these Christians saying, we're going to minister, and we're fighting AIDS, and we're getting into high schools and talking. And here's the United States saying, here's all this money. But if you take the money, here's the deal. Don't say if there's anything wrong with prostitution. And don't say there's anything wrong with homosexuality. So the U.S. government is using its financial power to warp the values as it gives its money. The United States is the greatest exporter of secular values to the U.S. government. At the same time, the U.S. is the greatest exporter of religious values through missionaries. What a contradiction. The U.S. pioneered the phenomena of mega churches and global reach preachers. But many of these preachers proclaim the prosperity gospel with a focus on material possessions and a self-centered faith. The U.S. is a home to focus on the family. What a great organization with its global mission to strengthen families. The U.S. is also the largest exporter of raw violence, shocking sexuality, and pornography in the world. So we're strengthening families on one hand, destroying them on the other. The greatest force for both coming out of the U.S. The U.S. is pushing for democracy in developing nations, and yet this democracy, which brings political freedom, opens the door to Hollywood movies and pornography. So there's a growing secularism within the U.S., reducing the influence of religion, but at the same time there's a growing God hunger in the rest of the world, making people more hungry for the faith. So democracy and capitalism are kind of like a Trojan horse. They open the door for all the help that comes in, and with that comes a whole range of influences which corrupt people and their traditional values and brings in sexual values. So how do Muslims respond? And what do they resent most about the West? Gallup did a survey of Muslims around the world and asked them from moderate to radical and said, what do you resent most about the West? And here's what they said. We resent the West's sexual and cultural promiscuity. I can agree with that. They said America is viewed as an immoral society. Watch the movies coming out. I can agree with that. It's a culture that glorifies immorality in the form of fornication, homosexuality, sex, alcohol, trading with interest, and is basically a decadent culture. They say American culture is something that corrupts and degrades everything it touches. As an example of that, you think of the 9/11 terrorists. They came to the U.S. to destroy our decadent culture, and what were they sucked into before they went and crashed into the planes? You know what they did the night before? Went out and got drunk and watched porn, right? You find Osama bin Laden and his deal, and what's he looking at? What's on his computer? Porn. Well, they would say it's the U.S. It's even their most holy people are being corrupted by the U.S., so the goal is to destroy us. It's a seductive culture. Christian nations, non-Christian nations, see the hope of democracy and the hope of capitalism as tied to Christianity, and yet it has a corrupting influence. It's this bittersweet deal. So what's happening is many in the developing world are responding with a renewed hunger for religious values, of eternal spiritual values. They're hungering for a transcendent God. And of the two faiths that have risen to the top, they're both faiths of the book. The two main religions are in a contest between the Bible and the Quran. The U.S. is the primary Christian country, yet less than 50% of the U.S. knows that Genesis is the first book of the Bible. So we're the Christian nation, and the Bible is our book, but as a culture, we're kind of ignorant of the Bible. But it's even worse than that in Islam. Muslims believe there can be no accurate translation of the Quran. So it's not, if you're translating into English, you're kind of under a little suspicion there for corrupting it. But there's high illiteracy, and so while the Quran is revered, few people actually know what it is. They may memorize it and not understand it. They may memorize it in Arabic and not know what they're doing. Illiteracy rate in the Muslim world, 40% of Arabs cannot read Arabic. But yet the Quran is being put forth. The Saudis give away about 30 million copies of the Quran each year. The Saudis believe that God gave them oil to finance the spread of Islam around the globe. So at the heart of the battle between Christianity and Islam is a battle between the Quran and the Bible. Most of the countries influenced by the Bible tend to be what we call free nations. Nations that have been influenced by the Quran tend to be totalitarian. If you rank the world's top universities, and this is in the little handout I gave you, among the 350 million Arabs, there's zero top-flight world universities. And among the 5 million Jews in Israel, there's six. So Christianity and a biblical view, even coming out of, a Jewish faith, fosters a certain view of life, a certain openness, a certain hunger, a certain view of innovation, a certain amount of freedom, a certain type of government. And what's happening is modernization has led to a division within Islam. There's a polarization happening with Islam. There's some that are coming more fundamentalist, more militant, and there's some that are coming more modern and wishing we could reach more to democracy. So there's a kind of a divide happening here. Some want to turn back the clock, and some want to go toward the future. And for many, Islam is incompatible with democracy. Historically, Islam has usually spread from the sword and from conquest, while Christianity has spread through persuasion. I share these things just as a big picture for saying this. Even though we live here and the spiritual climate in the U.S. seems to be closing down, people, you know, if you see somebody talking about God on a movie, it seems out of place. If you hear a politician talking about God, it's like, oh my gosh, there's the politician who has faith. It's a shock to us because we're so secularized. Having somebody even speak about God in a public place is refreshing to us. There's a growing secularization here. In the rest of the world, there's a growing God hunger. And as we think about Africa, this is probably only going to increase. And as we think about, I guess from my perspective, and it's just me, I think the ministry of the navigators is sorely needed now. I really believe that. It's getting into the scriptures. It's what does the Bible say? It's helping people get grounded in the Word. So I think what we are involved in is very vital. And the hunger for what you're doing, I think, will only increase with increasing globalization. We're going to stop. And again, as I said before, you're free to challenge anything I said. I'm no expert. I just share what I'm kind of learning along the way. We have a break. I think we have a break. That's good. I'm glad. Let me just pray for a second, and then we'll... The things that are outside here, you're free to help yourself to anything that's on the break table. We'll ring the bell when it's time to come back. And Mutu will be our speaker when we come back. Lord, it's no accident that you have called each of us to walk with you. And we may be like the little guy who had the five loaves and the two fish. It's like, what do I have to offer? But Lord, you have placed us here to minister in the U.S. and beyond. So we want to offer what we have to you. Lord, please speak to us over the next hours and days. Sharpen us. And take what little bit we have and use it for your kingdom as you spread it around the world. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, Lord. Amen.